Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our focus for this first Sunday after the Epiphany is the baptism of our Lord. Last Sunday, I mentioned what the word Epiphany means. Does anybody remember? Epiphany means manifesting or appearing. The reason that we observe the baptism of our Lord during this time of Epiphany is because there is a huge emphasis on the revelation of who Christ is and what he was sent to accomplish, as was seen through the lens of Jesus' baptism, and also what it reveals about our baptism. Let's be honest. It is hard to give a clearer epiphany of Jesus' identity than the Heavenly Father does when he tells us, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Then the prayer of the day takes that revelation and it applies it to our baptism. Did you hear it? Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. That's what we prayed. Jesus' baptism is about him identifying with us so that in our baptism we are identified with him. Our Old Testament ancestors wandered in the desert for what seemed to them anyway as an eternity. They wandered and they wandered, and it seemed as if they were not getting anywhere, making any headway to the promised land. Of course, we know why, but sometimes we can relate. The 5th century BC mathematician and philosopher, Zeno of Elea, you've read him, right? Zeno of Elea was known for his paradoxical thought experiments, which questioned all the human assumptions about reality. I'd like to paraphrase for you one of his experiments. Zeno proposes that we imagine the common experience of walking across the street. You can relate, right? Further imagine in doing so that after our first step, we are required to limit each further step to one half of the previous step. In this way, let us imagine that our first step gets us 2 feet across the street. That means the next step only moves us 1 foot closer, and the subsequent step only 6 inches closer to our goal. The paradox occurs as we realize that our distance of our previous steps can be halved infinitely in even more minuscule movements. In other words, Zeno observed the possibility of constant forward motion that never arrives at its destination. Zeno's paradox has us always moving, seemingly making progress, but never getting anywhere. Have you ever felt that way in life? Or think that way as you're heading to eternity? Do you ever wonder if you'll get where you want to go or need to go? Wouldn't you like to know if there was a solution to the paradox of progress rather than the destination of eluding us eternally? We need the water of baptism that gives us our identity in Christ and all that it gives. In our gospel reading this morning, our eyes are directed to the crowds. Did you catch that at the beginning of the gospel? The crowds on the banks of the Jordan River, who are described as people in expectation. A people waiting for something to happen. These expectant Israelites would likely appreciate the frustration of Zeno's thought experiment, as they too were people who for generations moved a lot, both figuratively and literally, but never seemed to get where they wanted to go. The crowds on Jordan's banks, these people of expectation, were also people who were in a predicament. They felt held back by the oppression of Caesar and the Roman Empire. They felt held back by the abuses of their own local government, Herod the Tetrarch, after Herod the Great. These local kings, instead of being advocates, they were murderous tyrants using their subjects to further their own self-interest. And as if Roman rule and its puppets were not bad enough, John tells us that these weary people even had their own national heritage, their earthly descendants from Abraham, and that was getting nowhere. Heaven certainly appeared to these people as if it was closed. This was a frustrating predicament that they had existed for thousands of years. It began when the first humans trusted that human knowledge rather than the trust in their creator. They trusted that it would get them where they wanted to be. But they quickly learned that having one's eyes opened apart from God was not the epiphany that they expected it to be, but actually quite deadly. From the dependence of human knowledge came the belief that we could move forward if we just had enough rules and regulations to get us there. And so humanity got plenty of both, but quickly realized that they could not follow them, even when they're engraved in stone by God himself. So later they thought that having a strong human leader, a wise king, would certainly get them where they wanted to go. Again, failure. This was truly a distressing predicament. Knowledge had failed them. Rules had failed them. Government had failed them. These people had a history of movement and change and had gotten them nothing except captivity. The destination was closed. Heaven was closed. A predicament not just theirs, but one shared by all of the human race. I think every one of us can identify. We identify with the predicament and the frustration of the Israelite people who were on the shores of the Jordan River. We have seen firsthand the failure of human knowledge, the failure of human rules, of human government to bring us to the destination that we seek. We are people, too, who are endlessly moving but never seeming to get anywhere. This problem has existed since the time of the fall. But the deeper and ongoing problem is we are powerless to do anything about it. And worse, most of the time, we stubbornly refuse to admit that we even have the problem, to realize that we are powerless to reach our destination. After all, we're moving forward, right? We're making progress, right? Just a little more and we'll be there, right? In our gospel reading, the crowds then turn their eyes to John the Baptizer, thinking that this amazing man would be their solution, simple human that he was. John, however, quickly dispels this notion by recognizing his own powerlessness, his unworthiness to even untie the strap of the sandals of their Savior. And herein lies the problem that keeps us in our predicament, our failure to accept our powerlessness. In Zeno's thought experiment, we find endless motion without a destination, because we are trying to cross the finite distance to the other side of the street with the infinite visibility of the steps. The problem reminds us of the expectant Israelites on the banks of the Jordan, or of fallen humanity throughout the ages. Except here, the finite has no means of accessing or achieving or comprehending the infinite. In John's gospel, our Lord explains, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, a broken, sinful human being is powerless to create anything from within itself that is not already there. I'd like to give you an illustration. You see, that's our problem. The dinner that you make is limited to the ingredients that you have. If we expect a greater than human solution from within the ingredients of human knowledge and human rules, human politics and human ability, we will always be disappointed, because we will always be moving and never getting anywhere. But do not despair, everything changes. When Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. Did you catch that? The heavens were opened. The destination is in sight. Everything that broken humanity has longed for since the expulsion from Eden has now been made accessible. For the first time since the fall, and for every time evermore, the destination is now reachable. The Son of God, fully human yet fully divine, and timelessly crucified and risen from the dead, enters the waters of baptism. In this man, the finite and the infinite are miraculously and incomprehensible made into one, and a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Jesus Christ was now revealed by the Father's own voice to be the only perfect, infinite human worthy of the perfect, infinite destination, because he is the creator of the destination. Heaven is open to Christ because it belongs to him. Jesus' baptism proves the same progress for us. How? How does Jesus' baptism end our predicament? It does so because the Son of God, as the Word, in a miraculous way, remains in the waters of baptism. He enters the water for all time so that he might meet us in our baptism. In the water of our baptism, our failed humanity is killed with Christ upon the cross. And in that same water, Christ provides his life-giving Holy Spirit, who creates the faith which receives the infinite life. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In the water of baptism, the infinite Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has, from outside our reality, reached in and miraculously joined himself to us. As Paul writes in Galatians, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And therefore rejoice. We have received what we could not achieve for ourselves. For in our baptism, the power of God's Son, his Word, has brought the destination down to us, granting us the assurance of heaven, even as we admit we are powerless." Jesus' baptism And our baptism is the provider of true progress. Yes, we confess that we are powerless to solve our problems that lead us into the predicament. But in the water of our baptism, we, the powerless, have been joined to the crucified and risen Creator, not briefly, but forever. Therefore, contrary to all earthly appearances, despite our endless failures, we rejoice in this tangible assurance that our predicament has ended, our problem has been solved, and the means to arrive at our heavenly destination, that longed-for place, has been provided. Fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In the name of Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.